Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Richard DeKayser is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. You know Richard. He's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank in out of the great city of Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I'm going to be next week. Next week, Wednesday through Friday, I'm going to be broadcasting from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm going to be up there working with a bunch of chambers of commerce, the American Chamber of Commerce executives, national conferences up there, and I'm going to be up there working with them, and you're going to be meeting a bunch of the chamber members, chamber executives, and a bunch of small business owners in the Cleveland area as I broadcast from that location, from that venue, next Wednesday through Sunday. I'll be there through Sunday, broadcasting Wednesday through Friday. So I'm looking forward to that. Richard, welcome back to the show. I'm coming to see you.
Good to be here, Jim, and we're looking forward to seeing you here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I know you've been working hard to get the city all cleaned up for me up there, spiffed up for me, right?
Oh, it's in good shape, yeah.
Yeah. Cleveland has really come back, hasn't it?
Over the years, it's been very difficult. The reputation built up in the 1970s has clung to us, but it's a totally different place. Skyscrapers and sports stadiums.
Me saying that, Cleveland's come back, that's actually old news, folks. Richard's right. I mean, I was there. The last time I was there, Richard, was 10 years ago, and Cleveland looked great.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it has been a good decade since things have turned around.
Okay, we're here to talk to a large extent about the economy and the Fed. And Richard, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Before we get into the Fed exactly, you always do a great job of giving us a little report in plain English on where you see the economy right now. And I'd like for you to do that, please.
Sure. The economy is in fundamentally very good shape, though I would characterize it on the whole as a little bit overheated. We've got an unemployment rate just under 5% at 4.8 as of July, which is unfortunately about as low as we can reasonably get this without inflation becoming a problem. And we already see inflation problems creeping up, and I'm not talking just about gas prices at the pump, but things unrelated to energy are also creeping up, which is why the Fed's doing what it has been, raising interest rates. Now, as we look forward, my view is that they're going to get the much-desired, long-sought-for soft landing, which is GDP growth slowing from what has been about a 3.5% growth trajectory for the past 3 years down to something closer to 3%, and leading that slowdown is likely to be our housing industry, which has gone through 5 consecutive record years, but now is simply unable to keep that momentum with higher interest rates. And, you know, when you take on second-order effects, the housing industry itself is just about 6% of GDP. But when you take into consideration wealth implications and the shopping people do to outfit their homes, you can get that up around 8%. And that slowing down, as it has been and will continue to do, should get us into a relatively benign slowdown, though there are always risks when that is happening. The risks include things coming from out of left field, which resides mostly these days in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And gas prices. And what we've heard this week of BP shutting down a major oil production pipeline in Alaska.
Well, that's right.
And you know, with all the money they make, you think they could fix those things, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, who knows? What we're hearing is that it was a discovery of a big surprise that hadn't been anticipated. I'm going to take them at their word, but surely, you know, and you have to think about it from a profitability perspective. They're not doing very well by shutting down the pipeline. So presumably, if they did have good, complete information, they would have been on top of it.
Oh, I don't think shutting it down was any kind of a sinister plot. I think it's bad management with all the money they make. Are you kidding me? They ought to be. If let me put it this way, for the prices we pay, if there's one thing we ought to be able to count on these people with, if for the profits they're making, we ought to be able to count on them keeping their infrastructure intact.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you would think that the profit motive would be sufficient to see that it's done, because with nothing flowing as it is not at this time through those pipes, with oil, you know, at $76 a barrel, $77 a barrel,
right,
money is being lost.
With all the inflation worries that the Fed has, are they more worried about consumers, or are they more worried about businesses? What's their first worry? Who do they think of first when they wake up?
Well, you know, the Fed will be very, you know, clear on this point. They consider all kinds of information and look at all aspects of our economy. But I think the straight answer, if you were to get one, would be that they're a little bit more worried about consumers than they are
right.
businesses. And the reason I say that is because businesses really are in very solid financial shape. Things are getting a little rockier now with rising interest rates. But that aside, it's been a good run, and there's still a lot of seed corn left in the silos.
I've got something I want to add to that when we come back, and I'm also going to read something that was a quote from the Fed, and you'll be asking, I thought Mr. Greenspan retired when I do that. 20 Tales, stay with us.
I can't imagine any...
Welcome back. There's the Stones for you. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you use that to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my blog, or just check it out. You can use it on my homepage, or go to jimsblog.com, either one. I'm sorry, jimsblog.biz, that's what it is, jimsblog.biz. And also, you can subscribe to my newsletter, which comes on by email every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. Richard DeKayser is our guest, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. Richard, before we went to the break, I asked you if you thought that the Fed was more likely to target first consumers and then businesses, and you said consumers. And I take that to mean that when they think of consumers, more and more of our economy, I think a lot of people will agree, the growth in our economy has been fueled by reselling of homes and you know, upgrading and maybe taking some equity out, also refinancing our homes, taking out equity loans when the prices are going up, and being able to borrow that money at pretty low rates, which we've been able to do most of this decade so far. But now that rates are up, that's going to you know, the bloom's going to be off of that rose. And so consumers are not going to be able to do as much of that kind of borrowing, and are not going to do that much kind of borrowing, and then therefore spending. And that's going to slow the economy a little bit. That is slowing the economy a little bit. Is that what's happening?
I think that's exactly what's happening, Jim. And, you know, the uncertainty is that when we talk about the housing market, it looks, in my opinion, like a lot of the real frothy markets in the Southeast, in the West Coast, and parts of the Northeast are flirting with bubble-like conditions, and economists have a very difficult time trying to analyze those, because a bubble is almost a direct violation of economic principles.
Right.
Higher prices don't subdue demand, they excite it, and timing with any precision, the kind of slowdown and the magnitude of the slowdown is very difficult. So this throws a monkey wrench into the Fed's planning, in the sense that there's this very important sector of the economy, which they can predict and do predict, but has a wide band of uncertainty around it. So it just makes their process a much more circumspect one, and something they're not going to be quite as deliberate and bold as they might otherwise be.
Well, what upsets me about what they've done in targeting consumers through their interest rate increases, which, by the way, 17 in a row, you know, it's hard for me to believe that we needed 17 increases in a row. I mean, they could have, you know what, 17 in a row, they could have phoned that in, Richard. I mean, it's very troubling to me that we've had 17 increases in a row, and even though they may stop this time. But here's the other thing that troubles me. In order to stop the consumer to back the consumer off a little bit by raising rates, they've also hurt small business owners. Because what consumers have to borrow money at, small business owners have to borrow money at, or worse, consumers are borrowing mortgage money, we're borrowing short-term money, and that means that we're paying, you know, if you're borrowing money, if you're a good small business customer of a bank, Prime is 8.25. You're going to pay 9.25 minimum. Mm-hmm. And that hurts small business owners. And, Richard, I wish we could figure out a way to slow down the economy a little bit without hurting small businesses.
Well, you're not alone in that, Jim. Unfortunately, monetary policy, the conduct of policy by shifting short-term interest rates around is a very, very blunt instrument and cannot surgically address just this sector or that of the
economy.
Would
that be impossible to do, though, Richard?
Yeah, given today's
a smart guy like you, I think we could figure something out.
Well, give me a half hour. I can't come up with a solution right off my head.
Well, I'm serious. I mean, we need to work on that because let's talk about inflation for a second. Let's tie this to inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that there's such a thing as good inflation?
Well, I do. Yes, I do.
I do too. And it's to me, the good inflation is when small business owners have the ability to pass through their expenses to their customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we needed that. Some of the inflation that we're not happy about right now came as a result of small business owners actually being able to make a profit from 2003 to today.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Well, I think the question is not so much inflation as passed along at particular companies and particular products or for particular industries, but a generalized rate of inflation. That is to say, the Fed is altogether comfortable with the shift in relative prices. If your costs go up, that should affect the final price of the product, but should not affect the entire economy, and there should be offsetting developments in other industries, other products, and other companies. So what the Fed is wary about is not any price increasing anywhere, anytime, but the extent to which this risks becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy that builds on itself, starts to contaminate expectations, which then in turn develops into the kind of experience we had in the 1970s. So price increases are not in and of themselves undesirable. It's just their propagation throughout the economy that can become a real significant economic threat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad small business owners have been able to make a profit and been able to charge for what they should be getting for their products. And if that causes a little inflation, it doesn't bother me. I'm not as worried about inflation as the Fed seems to be. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they look a little farther down the road than I do. But it does bother me, though, that, you know, the consumer is the real driving force of the economy. But the goose that's laying the golden egg for this economy is small business, as far as I'm concerned. And we've got to come up with a little bit less of a blunt instrument to manage our fiscal policy. And we've got to come up with some kind of mechanism, some kind of method to not hurt small businesses disproportionately, just to slow down other sectors of the market. Quick break. I'm going to read that quote from the Fed when we come back after these messages, and we're going to find out what Richard thinks the Fed's going to do today with the rates. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Richard DeKayser. He is Chief Economist and Senior Vice President at National City Bank. Richard, give us your website and tell us a little bit about National City.
Couldn't be easier. www.nationalcity.com. We are a major regional financial holding company headquartered in Cleveland, Ohio, principally operating throughout the Midwest, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Kentucky, Missouri, and Pennsylvania, though in the past month we've acquired two banks in the state of Florida.
Wow.
Which will make us, when closed, the fourth ranking bank in that state. So,
wow. So
we're spreading out from our Midwest.
Which parts of Florida?
East Coast, directly north and south of the Miami metro area.
I got you. So this winter, you're going to have to go down and check those out quite often, aren't you?
That's my hope, yes.
That's your plan. I'll be disappointed if you don't pull that off. Okay, let me read something from this is a quote that Richard lifted from the Fed, and it's in his Financial Market Outlook, which, by the way, they can get at your website, right?
That's right.
And that's nationalcity.com/economics. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the quote that he lifted from the Fed. The extent and timing of any additional firming that may be needed to address these risks will depend on the evolution of the outlook for both inflation and economic growth as implied by incoming information. Richard, I thought Mr. Greenspan had retired.
Well,
I mean, that's not plain English.
You know, it's funny. I guess you could call it Fed speak, and it's to those of us who make it our business to stay on top of these folks and communicate with them and interpret them, it does make sense. I'll admit that it tends to be very wordy. But the central point they're trying to make here is that they set policy based on their expectations for the future. Those expectations about the future change as new information comes to light. And as that new information comes to light and their expectations for the future change, so too will their conduct of policy, whether they raise rates or cut them or leave them unchanged for an extended period of time. You know, the way it's been translated in the popular press, I think, gets it quite clearly, which is to say that Fed policy is data dependent. They're reading the tea leaves as closely as they can, inferring what it means about the future and adjusting things on an ad hoc basis.
So, it's do you think they're going to raise rates this time?
I don't.
Are they going to take a rest?
I think they're going to take a break. Most importantly, again, getting back to this tea leaf reading process, we've learned that there are sufficient signs of slowing, in my opinion, that the Fed need not raise rates further. We're seeing job growth slow pretty significantly. And we had this big surprise. Maybe that's overstating a little bit, but the government every summer revises its measures of gross domestic product and all the related metrics that go with that. And it did show a little bit more slowing than was previously thought. So those two things together, slowing economy, slowing labor market, I think is providing a Fed with enough rationale for just sitting on its hands for a bit and seeing how things continue to evolve.
You believe we're going to have a soft landing, or do you think that the Fed has overreached in their previous increases?
No, I think we are going to have a soft landing. And let me turn back to something you said a moment ago, Jim, which is the Fed has, in fact, raised rates 17 times. That is an enormous string. But if I could just play devil's
advocate. That's unprecedented, isn't it?
It is. But if I could play devil's advocate, you have to focus on the level of interest rates, not the change. And believe it or not, at 5.25% for the overnight bank rate, what we charge each other to lend money on a short-term basis, that is about the average of what it was during the second half of the 1990s. So it's, of course, extremely high relative to where we were, say, in 2003.
Right.
When the federal funds rate had been taken to an all-time
low. It was down to 1%, right.
So that's right, just 1%. But I think the Fed's been right to take that away. I think they were wrong to go as low as 1%, but that's water under the bridge.
I never thought we should have been that low. It did not make me happy. Folks, if you remember on this show, Richard, I said, this is going to cost us. They've gone too low. They've stayed here too long. They've worried about deflation too much. It's going to cost us. They're going to overreact. And when they do, it's going to go the other way. And I was always worried about that.
You said it. I was there. I'll confirm it. And I agreed with you.
Yeah.
But you know, I think what happens is the Fed has assumed this ad hoc policy of risk management, which is to say that at any given point in time, there's so many uncertainties to the upside, to the downside. The Fed chooses one uncertainty that it makes paramount above all others. And then it was the fear of deflation.
Deflation was it. Now it's inflation. And
that's right.
Richard says they're not going to raise rates. And we will see, and we'll hold him to that next time. Thanks, Richard, for being here. Good job today.
It's a pleasure, Jim.
Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen, with National City Bank. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.